happen. So that's it for money and market. But now we have, hopefully, Franklin Sanders. Are you with us?
I'm right here.
Fantastic. Okay, Franklin, the precious metals market. A lot happened over the last month. You want to bring us up to date?
Yeah, I think the key is to look at the U.S. dollar, because the story is pretty much all told there. Or you can look at the euro. It's just the same thing from upside down. But the dollar was rallying at the beginning of October, and it spent the whole month of November or the whole month of October giving up those gains. But it's come back, and really the big story that's controlling the markets is the crisis in Europe. It's hard to believe that the people in charge are dithering the way they are on purpose. But, it's always a mistake to refuse to take the simplest explanation, and the simplest explanation is that they're all stupid. And apparently that may be the truth, unless they're just managing the crisis, which is also possible, to end up with greater centralization and greater control of all the national economies. But whichever way it's going, the big story in the markets is the euro. And the euro fix is on one day and it's off the next day. It's on one day and it's off the next day. And now there are rumors that the euro might be broken up into a two-tier system. And it's not even obvious that France might be able to sneak into that two-tier system. But what is obvious is that Germany is in control.
Control.
And Germany stands to lose more than anyone else by the failure of the euro. I mean, if you think about it, Germany has gained more in the last 50 years through the European Union and the euro. It's gained everything that it worked for in 300 years of war, only without the war. So it would
be... Well, but I want to point something out. Can you imagine, Greece has just had made president, the head of the country, a guy who is a former governor of the Bank of Greece, and a member of the Trilateral Commission. So it's a little bit like Alan Greenspan was appointed president of the United States.
Well,
can you imagine?
Yeah, I have to say it, and I know that it sounds maybe simple-minded, but whenever you see that those people are put into power who have connections like that, Trilateral Commission, CFR, Bank of Greece, so forth, the fix is on. I mean, because those people are part of that cosmopolitan elite that runs the whole world, and they've put him in there to fix. You notice he is only an interim prime minister, and he's only there to force the Greeks to accept these terms that have been dictated to them, when the only real solution is a debt jubilee, is to write off the debt, because it can't be paid off. All they're doing is putting Greece into a state of slavery for the next, I don't know, century or so. But let me go back to markets.
Well,
I've gotten off my subject. Okay, so if you are you there? Sorry?
Yeah. Go.
Okay. If you look at the euro, you see that the euro rallied and came up to the range that it had fallen out of, and back in September, and it went up almost to the point where it fell off about 142, and it made what's called an island reversal, which is a very, very strong reversal pattern. And since then, it's dropped like an anchor out of a 747 jumbo jet. And it's going to 120. I mean, I look at that chart and I say, 120 at least, maybe lower. The Japanese broke the yen the other day, so they've been plagued because money running out of the euro has been going into the yen, which was already way, way overpriced because of the earthquake last spring. So if you look at those currencies, they're in the process of falling apart. When they fall apart, people run from one of those to another. They've run into the U.S. dollar. They've run into treasury bills. But they've also run into gold, and that brings us to gold and silver. And the big question, and that is, have gold and silver bottomed yet? Has the correction that began at the end of September actually finished or not? And it's not clear. If gold gets through $1,800, then that's the end of it. It's going much higher. You notice that within the last couple of days, gold has gotten up to 1800, challenged that mark, and then fallen back. Today, it went below 1750, but it came back and rested, closed slightly above 1750. So there's a tug of war going on there. Silver has not benefited as much as gold from this economic crisis, and the silver chart is much more equivocal. I think probably you're going to see another day or two of downward trend, but what you're seeing is a struggle, certainly behind the scenes, all the nice government men and the European Central Bank and the Fed and the Bank of Japan, they're all working to keep the price of gold down. And the crisis, of course, is impelling people into gold. Which one will win? I can't say. I don't know yet. But if you see a close above, significantly above $1,800, and gold stays above $1,800 for 2 days, then stop waiting for lower prices and go ahead and buy, because that's it. On the other hand, if gold closes below 1705, then we're going to do some more of this sideways movement in range trading before gold starts up again. With silver, the numbers are, the situation is a lot the same, although silver's just weaker. But the upside numbers are about $35.50 on the upside, and really $33 on the downside. If silver breaks $33, then it could drop as low as $30 again. So that's pretty much where we are. It's just a waiting game. But
30 is where it started the year.
Do what?
30 is
where it started the year.
A lot of people would be happy to be where they started the year in other asset categories.
Right. Well, the main thing to remember when we go through corrections like this is these are not disasters. These are not reasons for you to go in the morning and put on a hair shirt. These are reasons for you to buy more gold and silver. These are corrections. Periodically, all markets have corrections. All upward markets, all downward markets even, have corrections. And that's what you're seeing now. And this is the time to buy, because the risk from here may be 10%. But the upside potential is a triple, a quadruple, or a quintuple from where we are.
So you and I had revised our highs up to in the 2000s for the year. Is that where you still think it could go?
Easily. If it gets through 1800, it'll easily go above. It'll probably go above 2000, 2100, 2300 maybe. If it doesn't, then, you know, it could trade along here, gradually moving its way up into the end of the year. And, you know, in the year, I don't know, somewhere around 1800, 1850. But there certainly is the potential. There's plenty of time for gold to move up to 21 or 2300 before the end of the year.
Right. Right. I agree. Well, thank you, Franklin. Anything else you've been seeing in your flow? How's the demand for physical? Is it strong?
As a matter of fact, it's very strong. I don't think that's abated, but the premiums on silver and gold items indicate that the, you know, demand is steady, but it's not out of order the way we saw in the financial crisis of 2008. When we saw this wild demand that was driving premiums on everything sky high. That's not
right
there, but there's plenty of steady demand.
Okay, well, the gentleman I'm about to introduce is someone who Franklin has known for a long time, and it was you, Franklin, and James Turk who first got me to read Edwin Vieira. He is a very educated attorney, Harvard attorney, and an incredible author, and among other things has authored a book which I describe in the blog post for this week, and which I can't recommend to you highly enough. It's a two-volume book Pieces of Eight, which has now been republished. And I told Edwin earlier this week a very funny story. You may not know this, Franklin. David Lichty became an intern at Solari because he couldn't get Pieces of Eight. So the deal was, if he moved to Hickory Valley, could he have the book for a year while he was there? So Edwin Vier, among other wonderful things, brought David Lichty into my life. And I would not just describe him as an attorney, but really an amazing scholar. And I don't use that word lightly, but in terms of understanding of American law and the constitutional framework, including for money, I don't think he has an equal. Is that, would you say that that's fair, Franklin?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.